catch up. And the ambiverts. Well, again, happy birthday. Confession, I didn't get you anything. I feel a little badly about that. Good news, though, God did. God has a gift for the church on its birthday, because on Pentecost, not only do we remember the start of the church, but we remember that the start of the church happened because the Holy Spirit came to this ragtag group of fishermen and former prostitutes and tax collectors. The Holy Spirit came to them, God's very Spirit, and it fundamentally changed the course of human history. This is what happens at the beginning of the church at Pentecost. God's Spirit comes and it changes everything. In fact, the reason you're here today, sitting in this place with this community of people, can be traced all the way back to Pentecost, to that first day. And so this is a hugely important moment. And I think we often maybe don't think of Pentecost. Most years for me, it just flew right by. Anybody else? Anybody grow up in a church where Pentecost was like a thing? 1, 2, 4, 5. Okay, so a few of you. Yeah, all the Catholics, that would be true. If you come from a more, yes, Anglicans, Catholic, Episcopalians, more liturgical churches are more in tune with the church's calendar, generally speaking. That's a broad generalization, but I think it's fair. And so if you're familiar with the church calendar, then Pentecost is on your radar. If you're not, well, then you know about Easter. You know about Christmas. And that's probably about it, right? Those are the two things that show up on your radar as far as, you know, the church holidays. But Pentecost has got to rank up there, because without it, we're not here. It's the start of the church. So we're going to try and reclaim a little bit of Pentecost today. We're going to celebrate it again with cupcakes, but we're also going to try and reclaim this day, remember what it was and what it still means for us right now. And to get at that, I'm going to invite a few people to come forward and read through the text for this morning. So Masi and Christy and Angela, come on up, grab a microphone. Because as I referenced at the very beginning of the morning, one of the things that happens at Pentecost is that the Spirit gives the disciples the ability to speak in different languages. And these people all up here can speak a different language. Christy can speak Greek. Thank you, seminary. You know, appreciate that. Masi can speak Arabic as well as many other languages. I learn about his history afterwards. Angela can speak Spanish. I don't know how that came about. A little. Your daughter's in an immersion program. Is that where you picked it up? Yeah, she could crush it. Right. But these folks are going to give it a whirl. I'm going to read the first few verses, and then they're going to pick up and read those verses in a different tongue, just to try and get a little bit of a sense of what it might have been like that day when the Spirit came. So on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
ولما حضر يوم الخمسين كان الجميع معا بنفس واحدة وصار بغتة من السماء صوت كما من هبوب ريح عاصفة وملأ كل البيت حيث كانوا جالسين وظهرت لهم ألسنة منقسمة كأنها من نار استقرت كل واحد منهم وامتلأ الجميع من الروح القدوس وابتدأ يتكلمون بألسنة أخرى كما أعطاهم الروح أن ينطقوا.
Okay.
Amen. Give thanks to these people for stepping up here and having a little bit of courage to read. Thanks, everybody. Apparently, Greek takes a lot longer to read. Who knew? All right, just a taste of what it might have been like to have been there on that day. And listen to what happens next. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." I think this passage captures so well some of the ways in which we respond to the Holy Spirit. One response is that of amazement and perplexity. "What can this mean?" we sometimes ask each other. But another response that I've encountered, and maybe you have too, is to say that they're all drunk. This is weird, right? What is going on around here? What can this mean? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not sure that for many of us, at least, we're always quite certain what to do with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a bit out there, it can feel. A bit mysterious, a bit intangible, a bit challenging to get our heads around. And sometimes we see examples of what we're told are the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and we scratch our heads at it, and we wonder, what does it mean? Just who is the Holy Spirit? What does it mean that the Spirit is alive in us? What does that mean? What does it mean that God has given us this gift? Now, I don't know about you, but I carry around a lot of baggage when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I mean, bags and bags, suitcases, backpacks, bags on wheels. I have bags and bags of baggage around the Holy Spirit. Because I grew up in a community, a church community that was focused, placed a great deal of focus on the Holy Spirit. In fact, I wouldn't say that focus is quite the right word. It really became more of an obsession. People became obsessed with whether or not they had the Holy Spirit in them. And you could prove in the community that I was in, you could prove that you had the Holy Spirit by exercising the gifts of the Spirit. You know what I mean by that? What I mean by gifts of the Spirit? That was the language we used. Things like speaking in tongues, or gifts of prophecy, or gifts of healing, or gifts of interpretation. These were gifts that you should be able to exercise if you had the Holy Spirit. In fact, this expectation was so high, so prevalent, that when I was 10 years old, 10 or 11, I gathered with other kids my age, and we watched a VHS, videotaped class on how to receive the Holy Spirit. And this whole class, this VHS class ended. The very last thing we did was the person teaching counted down from 10 to 1. And when he got to 1, he said, "You will receive the Holy Spirit and you will speak in tongues." 10. 9. 8, 7, 6, right? I mean, I've got baggage around the Holy Spirit, okay? And it's not just that. I had friends who went to revivals. where people were being slain in the spirit, or where people received the gift of holy laughter. Did you ever hear about this? Right? There are these revivals that have happened throughout the years and where these gifts of the Spirit were given. And this is what it meant to receive the Holy Spirit to me growing up. Very individualistic, very personal, very dramatic. Maybe your story is like mine. Actually, I know for some of you it is. Maybe it isn't, though. Maybe not at all for others of you. Here's what I would bet, though. I would bet that most of us can relate to the people in Acts 2 who ran to that house to see what was going on. And they were both amazed and perplexed. I would bet most of us can relate to that. We've been perplexed by the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've also been amazed by the Holy Spirit. We understand what the question, you know, what can this mean? We understand that. We've asked it ourselves. So if this is where we are, is a place of maybe being perplexed, maybe a place of being amazed, what exactly do we do with the Holy Spirit? Let's go back to this story again. If you have a Bible, Acts 2 was where all of that reading happened from. You can head there yourself if you'd like. Some of it will be up on the screen too. Let's go back to that first birthday, our first birthday, and let's look at what we see about the Holy Spirit. Now, just a little refresher. Back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gathers with his disciples one final time, and he says to them, I'm going to leave, but I will leave you with a gift. Stay in Jerusalem until that gift has come, the Holy Spirit. God's very Spirit will come to you. When you receive it, you'll have power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So that's Jesus' promise. And so the disciples stay in Jerusalem. They're waiting for this gift to come. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Have you ever heard someone who's lived through a tornado describe the event? I'm a weather geek, so I watch these sorts of things. And you may have heard someone describe the coming of a tornado like a freight train. This incredible sound, right? And the text says that something like this happened. There was a noise so loud that people all over the city came running. This wind blew through. And then these tongues or flames of fire, something like that, rested on the disciples. And then they spoke in languages that were not their own. Which makes me just think that the Holy Spirit knows how to make an entrance. You know what I'm saying? In fact, there's this great preacher in Seattle I've been listening to, a woman by the name of Brenda Salter McNeil. She says that about this passage that perhaps the Holy Spirit came like this because God wanted to get our attention. That maybe sometimes God needs to wake us up to do something out of the ordinary, something completely unexpected, so that we snap out of our slumber and pay attention. And certainly this fits the bill. Rushing winds, flames resting on people, all kinds of languages being spoken. It is unexpected. It is unusual. It's out of the ordinary. I think that the Holy Spirit still shows up in ways we don't expect. Be cool. I personally wouldn't mind if there was an occasional rushing wind. Flames of fire. This would be helpful to make it very clear and unmistakable that the Holy Spirit has come to us. Now, that doesn't happen, not in that way, all that often, at least not in my experience, but I still believe that right now, today, the Holy Spirit shows up in ways that we do not expect. Some of you, in fact, are living in Grand Rapids because the Holy Spirit said to you, move. And you were like, Grand Rapids? but here you are. Some of you are in the job that you are in, not a career you planned. It was not on your radar. You were not headed in that direction, but God did something. The Spirit spoke to you, and you pursued a career, something new, something unfamiliar, because the Holy Spirit directed you in that way. Some of you have a tug on your heart for an issue or for a certain group of people. And frankly, you're an introvert. You'd rather just stay in your house and draw the curtains, but God keeps tugging on your heart towards these people or towards this mission, and you can't seem to resist it because the Holy Spirit does things that are unexpected. So one of the questions I think this text asks of us is, are we open to God showing up in our lives, even if it's in ways that are completely unexpected? Even if it is in ways that we never could have imagined or drawn up, even if it catches us off guard and at first we're perplexed and question, what does this mean? Are we open to the movement of God's Spirit in our lives? If we are, God will do things in us and through us that we never would have guessed possible. This is exactly what happens at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes and does the unexpected, and do you notice the gravitational pull that the Spirit has on that day? People come running. From every corner of the city, they come running to check out what is going on. And yes, some think that everyone's just drunk, but others are, something else is happening in them. They are being drawn to God in a new way. From every corner of the city, they were coming on Pentecost. You see, we learn in this story that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is it gathers people. The Holy Spirit gathers people. I've been thinking about this, how strange this is in this story, because actually language tends to divide us. But in this story, language brings people together. You ever been with someone who speaks a different language than you and only that language, right? And have you ever tried to interact with that person? It's really hard. It can be hard to connect, be hard to, you know, right, have a relationship. Usually language tends to divide. But in this story, language actually starts to bring people together. God is flipping everything on its head and gathering a people to himself. Now, you may say, sure, Chris, of course people came running that day. A tornado blew through town, and then fire came down from heaven, and then people spoke in languages that were not their own. Of course they came to look at it. But that doesn't happen today. And I say, contraire, mon frère, which is my speaking in tongues for today. All right. I think right now the Holy Spirit is gathering people around mission and around community in ways that might not have been expected. A very clear example, just in our own midst, is that a year ago, a group of people were serving at an event for kids over the course of the summer. And individually, three or four of them started to hear the Spirit say to them, hey, I want you to invest in this art camp called Create Again. And to their surprise, as they started talking, they realized that God had spoken to each of them. Very weird, they thought. How interesting. How unexpected. And as they shared this thing that they thought God was maybe stirring in them, other people started to come. Other people started to gather around this mission. People at the branch and people outside of the branch. Christians and non-Christians, young and old, people of different ethnicities. People started to gather around this thing that God was doing. God is still gathering people. So God says to us, happy birthday. One of the gifts I'm giving to you is that I'm I'm pulling people together. I'm drawing people into one body. I'm drawing people together around mission. I'm drawing people together around relationship. And you might not expect the way that I'm doing it. It may be a surprise. It may perplex you at first. But I am moving and gathering people to myself. But the Holy Spirit does more than just gather. The Holy Spirit also unites. You recognized, yes, that the people who came running to that room that day were incredibly diverse. Yes, they were all Jews, but they came with different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different cultures, different ages, different genders, different languages, different socioeconomic statuses. People who had 100 different reasons to be separate from one another begin to be united into one body. In fact, if we sneak peek ahead to the end of chapter 2, that's a little typo up there, it says that all of the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. There is this uniting that is happening. God says, happy birthday. I have a gift for you. And it's that I'm going to take these incredibly diverse people and make them united into one body. Now, to be clear, what happens in Acts, what happens today, is not that God makes a monolithic group of people. In Acts chapter 2, it's not that God erased kind of, all of the people's differences and all of their diversity and made them into one homogenous community. God loves diversity. God created diversity. And so one of the things that God is doing here is gathering different people and uniting them into one body, uniting them around a purpose and a mission and a commitment to each other. Happy birthday, God says. I'm doing what you'd never expect possible. You see, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit does and where the Holy Spirit is at work today, we should look for those places where people are being gathered and united in ways that are perplexing and amazing, ways that cause people to ask, what does this mean? Chances are good the Spirit is at work in those places. And again, I think this is still happening today in ways big and small. I think about beer and hymns. This Miller's and the Elzingas partnering together to show up in a bar once a month and sing hymns. Very different people, if you've ever been to one of these, in the same space, interacting with one another. Out of difference and diversity, God is doing something to bind people together. I think about Jeff and Sarah Verkaik. I spoke about them last week, but it's worth sharing their story again. They have two 18-year-old Afghan boys living in their home. You want to talk about difference? And yet God is doing something to bring them together. Or I think about the growing conversation that's happening in this city that I have just started to witness more and more around racial equality and reconciliation. There is all kinds of work happening right now in this city, right here. You may not be aware of it. I wasn't. But I'm telling you, God is doing something. I don't know what it is exactly. I don't know how it's all going to pan out. But there is movement and gathering happening and unity forming around that mission. Because the Holy Spirit gathers people and unites them together. And the Holy Spirit, as we see in this story, sends people. Remember I said in Acts chapter 1, Jesus meets with the disciples. I'm going to give you this gift. Stay here. Stay here until the gift comes. But when the gift comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and guess what happens? They stay in Jerusalem forever. No, people, no, that's incorrect. That's wrong. They don't. They do stay in Jerusalem for a while, and they're sent to the temple and to each other's homes. But over time, they move out. They actually go somewhere. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just gather people for the sake of gathering. The Holy Spirit gathers a group of people so that they can be united into a family that's strong enough that people can then be sent out into the world so that others might be gathered. It's being gathered to be changed, to be sent, to be gathered, to be changed, to be sent. To me, it's no wonder that the Holy Spirit is often described as a wind. And in Acts chapter 2, it's a crazy wind, a tornado blowing through town. Because you know what wind does? It moves things. And God's wind moves people out on mission. This is happening right now. The Rukuses moved into a neighborhood 3 years ago and felt the wind of the Spirit saying, pay attention to your neighborhood. God didn't send them to Africa. God sent them to their front yard. That's as far as they had to go. And there they've been on mission with their neighbors. I think of Elliot at work. I know Elliot well enough to know this part of his life. And others of you that I talk to who see the place where they work as a place that God has sent them to be love and hope. Think about my brother Matt, his wife Lindsay, who live in Jamestown. They feel like they've been sent to their street. And they've been building relationships with people there and being intentional about trying to form community where they live. I think about the Frangs and the Laws and the Petters, and there are others involved in this monthly card tournament thing. And I think one of the requirements is that you bring someone you don't know. Here's a group of people playing cards with a mission. With a mission to expand community. What is it for you? Where has God sent you? It doesn't have to be far away, and it doesn't have to be dramatic. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit sends us out on mission so that more people could be gathered and transformed and united into God's family. When I was growing up, as I said a few minutes ago, any conversation about the Holy Spirit for me in my Christian church community was focused on the individual. Would I be slain in the Spirit today? Would I be able to speak in tongues at some point? What would happen to me? What dramatic thing will God do in me through His Holy Spirit? And make no mistake, the Holy Spirit does change us as individuals. Your heart, your mind, your intellect, your character, God will change those things about you through the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's never just for you. It's always for the sake of the world. God changes you and me so that we might have what's needed to be united, so that we might have what's needed to be sent into the world. So here's a few questions to wrap up this morning. Where do you see the Holy Spirit gathering people on God's mission? Think about your life for a moment, your everyday, wonderfully ordinary life. Is there any place where you see God gathering people around something? And it doesn't have to be a mass of people, it could be one or two. Could be a couple of coworkers who gather together in order to come around and support another coworker who is hurting and wounded. It could be a couple of neighbors who take it upon themselves to throw a block party for their street this summer. Where is God gathering people? And if you see it, if you notice where that's happening, I'd invite you to consider joining in that movement of the Spirit. Or, and Where do you see God uniting people, bringing diverse people together, binding them into a family? Where do you see that happening in your life? It could be something global, a group of people locking arms together to support something halfway around the world. It could be something here in the States. It could be something right here in the city. It could be any number of things. But where is God uniting people, forming a family, binding differences into strength? Where is that happening in your life? Are you paying attention? Are you looking for those places? And if you find them, I'd invite you to consider joining in that movement. And where do you see the Holy Spirit sending people? Where do you see people on mission with God tugging their heart, pulling them in a direction or towards a certain thing or a certain task? Where do you see people being sent by God out to unfamiliar and new places? If you find that, or if it's happening in your life, join in that movement. See, today God says to us, happy birthday. I got you a gift. It's the gift of my Spirit. My Spirit is active. It is alive. It is on the move. It is healing relationships. It is sending people out on mission. It is binding different people together into one family. Would you join in that movement wherever it's happening around you? Would you join in? Would you be a part of it? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And maybe this meal is a gift as well, a gift for our birthday today. I think about how this meal gathers us. It's something that we come around together. It's this point, this thing that has pull and gravity to it, and we come to the table every week to share in this gift. And when we come, through these gifts, we're changed. The parts of us that tend to keep us separate from other people are broken down. God does the renewing work of uniting us into a family. And this meal gives us strength to be sent out, to go into our worlds and our lives, paying attention to where God is at work. So today, as we share the bread or the gluten-free chips, as we share the cup, we have the opportunity to remember these three things, these three works of the Spirit, that the Spirit gathers, the Spirit unites, and the Spirit sends. Let us be amazed at the work of the Holy Spirit in this community, in our lives, and in the world. Amen. Let me offer a prayer for this meal, and then we'll share it together by passing it down the rows to one another and speaking words of encouragement that this is the body of Christ given for you and this is the cup of blessing poured out for you. Let's pray together. God, would this meal be the gift that it is? Would we receive it with open arms and open hearts? And would we receive the gift of your Spirit? A gift that might perplex us sometimes, that we might scratch our heads and ask, what does this mean? But a gift that also is amazing and astounding and visible right around us right now if we would just pay attention. So open our eyes and our ears to where your Spirit is moving, and may we join in that good work. In Jesus' name, amen. body of Christ, give it for you.
Let your kingdom here, let the darkness fear, show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom.
Center of
captured, and we may revive it. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. Come your joy and pride. To see you kept, hearts released. Hurt the sick, a poor release. We realize heaven's call. We are the church. We build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Fill our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. Near and far, no force of hell can stop. Your beauty changing heart. You make a throne much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, and we build the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Fill our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom.